Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Violent crime is so out of control in San Francisco's tourist spots that Tony Bennett's song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco, is now becoming a literal song. I was going to talk about Trump. I was going to talk about the RNC sending in an advisor. Sean Spicer, the chief strategist and communications director for the esteemed RNC, is now being brought into work 3 or 4 days a week at Trump Tower to help the campaign shape its message. Now, of course, the question that begs to be asked is, he's going to help shape the message? The man from the RNC, the man who advised Mitt Romney, is now going to advise Trump? How did that work out for Romney? I guess the wimpification of Trump is in the wind. Now, also working for the Trump campaign is none other than the two-faced liar, Michelle Bachmann. You remember her? Remember Michelle Bachmann, former Republican? Emphasis on former Republican Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Well, she's advising Trump on foreign policy. Why do I have it in for Michelle Bachmann? I'll make it real simple. When she was struggling, she came on this show. And she begged you for money. And you sent her money. I think it was over $200,000. And she said, help me fight Nancy Pelosi. And then after she saved her position, she would no longer come back on this show. Well, eventually she got thrown out of office. She's also been hired by the Trump campaign. Do you understand why I don't want to talk about it? It's too depressing. It's anguishing. And so I got to tell you this. I went to San Francisco last night for dinner. Frankly, I love San Francisco, but I got to tell you this. If ever you wanted to know why not to vote for a progressive, just come to San Francisco. The garbage in the streets, the filth in the streets, the clogged, overflowing sewers, the broken roads. And if you want an example of broken roads, I want you to do something for me, because I'm going to do it this weekend. I'm going to try to do it anyway. I want you to take a small video with your iPhone. If you're in a car leaving San Francisco, going north over the Golden Gate Bridge, let's say to Sausalito or Napa Valley, I want you to look at the broken roadway leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge. It is worse than a third world nation. I want to know where the billions of dollars in highway funds have gone. I want to know which progs are stealing the highway funds in San Francisco. I want to know which progs are stealing federal highway funds in San Francisco. And this is an example of what progressive politics have done to a beautiful city. It's exactly what progressive politics have done to a beautiful nation. 8 years after this fraudulent golfer took over the presidency. Oh, by the way, his vacation was over, I think, Sunday. So the goofy golfer flew to Louisiana today. You know who that is, your president. And he said, this is not a photo op. I mean, it's astounding. Everything he says, does he not hear himself? What does he care? He's above the law. It doesn't matter. He hears himself. But the point is, progressive policies destroy everything that it touches. Now, if you say, well, this is an old message, Mike, move on. Well, it's not an old message. It's an actual new message. Because Hillary is selling progressive policies as though it's a new message. Is it a new message or an old message? What do you expect is going to happen in America if she wins? Well, I'll give you a few examples. You'll have more broken streets. You'll have more crime. Here, sightseers mugged at gunpoint on San Francisco's Twin Peaks. Of course, no description of the burglars. Two photo-snapping sightseers in their 20s were robbed at gunpoint Monday night on Twin Peaks in San Francisco. The latest in a rash of crimes at the Popular Vista targeting tourists. The men were taking pictures around 10 p.m. when two robbers, no description, approached them. Police said one of the assailants, again, no description, put a handgun against one of the sightseers' backs and threatened to shoot if either of them yelled. The other mugger took the backpack from the other victim. It contained two computer tablets, a hard drive, a camera lens, and U.S. and European currency. Wait, it gets better. Authorities didn't immediately say if the victims were traveling from abroad. Well, we can assume that if it had U.S. and European currency, they were tourists who were robbed at gunpoint in San Francisco. The mugging was the latest crime at the popular photography destination, targeting tourists and city sightseers. It's also happening at Coy Tower. It's also happening on Lombard Street. It's happening all over the city. Why? Because the police are unable to preemptively arrest the bad guys. They know who they are. The police know who they are. And in the old days, they would have yanked them in by the collar and arrested them. But of course, they can't do that anymore. San Francisco is one big urinal. The rest of the world should know what we all know who live here. Everyone in this city who is a realist knows that it's one gigantic toilet bowl. And if you come here, you not only overpay for everything, but you're going to risk your life. And it's all because of the progressive politics of the Board of Supervisors. 855, don't call me on this. I just wanted to use my phone number for a minute. Well, what can you do? Give me San Francisco horror stories. I've done this. What do you think of the RNC advising Trump? Has ultra tolerance led to this crime wave in cities like San Francisco and New York? And yesterday, by the way, I did a show on pornography. It was a very, very amazing show from my point of view. I'd rank it as one of my best, although it was off topic in the sense that all anyone is talking about is the election. I did a topic on how has pornography ruined your life. Now, it was a biased question because I only asked one question, which is how has pornography ruined your life? What if I ask the question of how has pornography helped your life? Because I guarantee you'll get calls from people who say, you know what? It's an actual harmless outlet. If it's consensual and it's adult and they're not hurting anybody and it helps a lonely person in some way or other and keeps a person from going out on a bad date or fishing around in a bar with bad people, well, what's wrong with pornography, somebody might argue. Now, I don't want to fall into the trap of you saying I'm pushing pornography because I'm not. But I did do the show of how has pornography ruined your life yesterday. And interestingly enough, 50% of the callers were women whose lives were ruined in their minds by pornography because of what it did to their husbands. But you know what didn't come up in that conversation? The big question, the question that was begged. Why did the woman choose the man who wound up using pornography and not leave him right away? What was it in that woman that had her seek out a man who would basically avoid her, ignore her, and choose imagery rather than her? You know, in other words, there's a psychological element to that show yesterday that I didn't touch on. So I think it had a few deeper, let's say, connections to discussion than we touched on yesterday. And I think it's worth revisiting in all of these other manners, along with these other stories. And I do have all the regular news, views, and reviews. But as I said to you, I think the main point of today's show is how progressive politics have ruined San Francisco and America. And again, it comes back to the number one story that I told you today. I talked about crime in San Francisco. I talked about broken highways in San Francisco. I asked where the federal highway money has gone, who is stealing it, because there are billions of dollars sent into this area by the federal government to fix roadways. Where is the money? And I mean the roads leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge, for example. It's a broken road that you wouldn't find in a major area of Malaysia. Who's stealing the money? Are you telling me that the senators in this city, Feinstein and the other one, Boxer, don't drive over the Golden Gate Bridge? They don't feel the broken road under their car? You're telling me that Pelosi, going to her country estate over the Golden Gate Bridge, doesn't see the broken road and ask herself, why is this road broken going onto an iconic structure like the Golden Gate Bridge? Where is the money going? Who's stealing the money? It's a simple question. If we had a U.S. attorney like Rudolph Giuliani in this area, or even a U.S. attorney of the type they are lucky to have in New York like Pete Prahara, pardon me for mispronouncing his name, I can guarantee you that there are politicians who would be in orange jumpsuits. Now that's the beginning of my show. If that's not good enough for you, I have nothing else to add.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or swissamerica.com.
See the
pyramids along the Nile, watch the sunrise on a tropic isle. Just remember, darling, all the while. Oh, am I on now? I'm live? No, I was reflecting on the fact, since I'm talking about tourism and tourist season and travel, and everyone's going somewhere, and I'm not going anywhere because I don't want to go anywhere. I could go anywhere I want. I could eat in any restaurant I want. And I like to eat in greasy Chinese holes in the wall or little Italian joints because I like the food and the people. So people are coming here. They're getting mugged. The car, the roads are broken. And I remember a song. Oh, well, let's play the song for them. Joe Stafford, You Belong to Me.
See the pyramids along the Nile. Watch the sunrise on a tropic isle. Just remember, darling, all the while.
Everyone sing. Follow the bouncing tourist.
You belong to me.
When I was a little kid and I heard this song, I actually saw the pyramids along the Nile. When she said, watch the sunrise in a tropic isle, I saw the sunrise in a tropic isle, even though I was in a dismal little apartment on Longfellow Avenue. I didn't know it was a love song. I thought it was a tourist song. When she said, see the marketplace in old Algiers, I saw the cutthroats with knives who were now all over the White House. When she said, send me photographs and souvenirs, or remember when a dream appears, you belong to me. Okay, you know, a kid hears this stuff, and it sets a course of life just through songs. It's like me listening to Gene Autry. Here I was stuffed in a rotten little apartment in the Bronx, which I love, by the way. I mean, we were a lot of people in a little apartment. Grandmother was there. I actually loved it. One-bedroom apartment like a lot of people because we were poor, and my immigrant grandmother lived with us, never spoke a word of English. I loved her very dearly. The point is, kids don't know they're poor. If the house is clean and you get a meal and your parents are good to you, it doesn't matter where you live. You could live in a big mansion in Beverly Hills and no one's ever home, and you wind up in rehab when you're 4 years old, or at 6 years old, you're cutting your schmendrick off to become a girl if you're a boy, or putting one arm if you're a boy and one of you a girl. That's how sick it becomes when there's no one around to love you. All that matters, truthfully, at the end of the day, I hate to sound like the Beatles, is love. You got to be loved, and then that's... All right, let's not go there. But the point is that when I heard this song, it was real to me. And here I am sitting with you, talking about your trip this summer to San Francisco and what you better be watching out for. Because most people go on any vacation, you want to go with rose-colored glasses. Right now I know a number of people who are in Africa on safari. Thank God they're not listening right now because they'll think I'm ridiculing them. But someone's in Africa right now with his children on a safari. Why anybody in the world would do that, I'll never understand. I mean, the Africans are leaving Africa. They're trying to get into Europe to get away from the safari. They're trying to get away from the elephants and the giraffes. And yet, the Europeans, they can't wait to go there and take anti-malarials to go look at an elephant from a Land Rover. I'd rather sit at home and see the... What is the point of going there? I don't understand this. This whole... Okay, the ecotourism, I understand. Maybe they'll stop the animals in China from having the elephants killed for their ivory. Okay, the wonderful bourgeoisie of China, who must have a piece of ivory on their mantle. It reminds me of the bronzes that a certain class of New Yorkers needed in New York to make believe they were nouveau riche when they were poor. The same thing with the ivory in China. I think that they should be attacking the end user of the ivory, and then the poaching would stop. If they went around arresting people who purchased ivory in China and elsewhere and fined them $10,000 for every ounce of ivory they have, it would end the ivory trade, wouldn't it? But let me get back to politics and San Francisco and pornography and not boys and not girls.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Made me want to fly in a silver plane when I got older and see a jungle when it was wet with rain, which I did a lot of. And that was that. So, in other words, when you're young, you're impressionable and you're influenced by many different things. And if you're a boy and you're told you're not a boy, or a girl and you're told you're not a girl, or if you're told that you're a boy but you're really a girl, or if you're a girl, you're really a boy, you are likely to become confused about your sexuality. Now, this country is like an airplane moments before tragedy strikes. If you were looking at a jetliner in the sky, flying along at 35, 40,000 feet, and someone took a picture of this airplane, this giant jumbo jet, before tragedy struck, that would be my image of America, because that's where we're at. Here's a story, for example, as a result of immigration, open borders, as a result of the goofy golfer. FBI investigating possible ISIS-inspired knife attack in Virginia. What do you mean possible ISIS-inspired? Where do you hear the story?
The FBI has launched a federal terrorism investigation into a weekend stabbing in Roanoke, Virginia, looking at whether the attacker may have been trying to behead his victim in an alleged ISIS-inspired assault.
What do you mean may have been trying to behead his victim? He had the knife against the white man's throat and was trying to cut it off? Oh, I said white man? Yeah. Federal authorities, listen to this sickness. So-called federal authorities, whatever that may mean, have been aware of the alleged attacker, 20-year-old Wasil Faruqi, of the Roanoke area for some time. In the past year, sources said, Wasil Faruqi traveled to Turkey and may have tried to sneak into Syria, where ISIS is recruiting and inspiring some of those from around the world. So you see, old Faruqi the Muslim was arrested Saturday by Roanoke County Police on charges of assault with malicious wounding. What did he actually do? Mr. Faruqi allegedly injured a man and a woman at an apartment complex in Roanoke, yelling, I'm sorry to tell you, I know it's very offensive and it's insensitive, but he was yelling Allahu Akbar, which is a guttural grunt from ISIS attackers before they kill non-Muslims. So he attacks these white people with a knife. Authorities believe he may have been trying to behead the male victim, who was likely picked at random. Faruqi and his two alleged victims were hospitalized. See, we have to give him hospital treatment. I'll tell you what I'd give him. I'd give him cockroaches and an open wound. I'd bury him up to his nose and put ants on his head with honey. Faruqi and his two alleged victims were hospitalized after the attack. My tax dollars at work, I have to pay for Faruqi's medical care. I dig a hole somewhere in Roanoke, in a town square. I bury him up to his neck and put honey on his head and let the ants eat him alive. I think that would disinspire the next ISIS attack, wouldn't you? But no, here's the answer now. The FBI is working with the police department following the incident that occurred on Saturday evening. You hear that? Said the head of the FBI's Richmond field office and then the so-called special agent in charge following the incident. Not the potential beheading by a Muslim fanatic. The incident that occurred like spontaneous combustion. Well, I cannot discuss details of the investigation, said the FBI moron. I do want to reassure the community that we are working to determine the nature of the incident. You know, Mr. Lee, you're a schmuck. I don't care if you work for the FBI. You are a schmuck. To even be able to speak like that, you're a moron. You can see how agitated I can get if I actually look at these stories. Oh, here's the punchline. And this is a call out to all of the good progressive lawyers out there. This is a call to all of you. It was not clear whether Faruqi has a lawyer. So if you're a brainwashed, psychopathic, anti-American, anti-family, anti-church, anti-man, anti-woman, anti-cop person with a law degree, Faruqi needs a lawyer. And he's waiting for you. And if you'd like his phone number, I can provide it for you. It's 1-800-DROP-DEAD. All right, that's another story. If you want me to talk about the real McCoy of why we're like an aircraft about to explode. Here's another story for you idiots who want open borders. Sweden, where the men died a long time ago. 40 sexual assaults at a music festival, all by Muslim migrant swine. 40 sexual assaults at a music festival, all by Muslim migrant swine. You know, in my book, Scorched Earth, I have a whole chapter on how we've gone from the Iceman to the nice man. And I started by talking about the Vikings and what happened to the Vikings. The descendants of the Vikings, by the way, still live in Sweden, Norway, Denmark. They're there. But they've gone from the Iceman to the nice man. In America, we have them. In America, we still have descendants of the Iceman. Some of them are in the military. Some of them are in the police departments around America making our lives safer. Some of them are in Corcoran Prison and other really hardcore prisons. But by and large, we have been deballed, let's put it to you that way. Because of the radical psychotic feminists who belong in a mental hospital, the type I'm talking about is sick in the head, the male haters, the men haters. They're not feminists per se. They're not trying to better women. They're simply out to destroy men. They're the type that have deballed America and opened up our floodgates to men like Faruqi. in my humble opinion. And so, as you can see, I'm in a wonderful mood today because of my wonderful trip to San Francisco last night, where I saw corruption right in front of my eyes. The garbage in the streets, the dirt in the streets, overflowing sewers. You go to North Beach, which I happen to have loved. It's, you know, one of the reasons I moved to San Francisco is because of the quaint Italian district called North Beach, which is on the perimeter of Chinatown. And it was always like going to an Italian village, and it still is to me. It still feels like going to an Italian village. However, if you actually look down instead of up, if you look down at the street level, you see the filth and the garbage. You see the sewers are clogged. You see the roads are broken with one of the most phenomenally scandalous projects in American history. In Boston, they called a big dig a boondoggle. That's where they're building a subway system that the politicians created just to rob the treasury as far as they could. In San Francisco, we have it. It's an extension of the subway system that has wrecked the entire neighborhood. It is a useless subway to nowhere. The people behind it are the very same progs who push transgender rights, who push every liberal cause in the world in order to rob the treasury while wearing silk suits and dining, and dining and dining and dining away. Of course, that's why George Soros gave $70 million to Black Lives Matter. Do you have any idea why he gives $70 million to Black Lives Matter? It's so he can continue to do what he does to destroy America and the West without fear of black mobs outside his office chasing him down in the streets because of the scoundrel that he actually is, in my opinion. It's exactly why all these big libs in Beverly Hills give so much money to these rotten, stinking, violent groups. It's so they can continue to get away with outright thievery. Rob the treasury blind. Legally, of course. The green gangsters, for example. Solar plants in the middle of the desert that produce very little energy at a very high cost, benefiting the brother-in-laws, the sister-in-laws, the sons, the daughters, the nephews of the politicians. In Napoleon's time, it was called nepotism. That's where the word first became very popular. It was under Napoleon III, who was permitting his nephew to get very rich on government contracts, that finally led to the downfall of the Napoleonic era. We, my friends, are in the third or fourth stage of the Napoleonic era, and the corruption has never been greater than it is today. As exemplified by the examples I have given you today about the broken roads, the filth and the garbage in the streets of San Francisco, as well as the subway to nowhere. But because we have a U.S. attorney who was appointed in part by Barbara Boxer and other fine, upstanding citizens in the Senate, there will be no such investigations as you are seeing in New York City or in New York State, where some of the mighty have fallen, such as Sheldon Silver, a man who was once untouchable. A religious man he was, Sheldon Silver, surrounded by religious followers of his, using religion as a weapon all along the way. Robbing and cheating and stealing and sending himself contracts like you can't believe, all the while thinking he would never be touched because he was surrounded by religious individuals who he used as his personal bodyguards. "What? You touch me and you lose the vote of this community," said Sheldon Silver. So no one touched him. And then along came a brave U.S. attorney named Preet Bharara, and Sheldon Silver is now in prison. And here in San Francisco, people who have robbed the treasury to an extent greater than that of Sheldon Silver, in my imagination and estimation, are not even being mentioned because we no longer have a newspaper. We have no newspapers in the city. At least in New York, you have a few varieties of newspaper. You have a few reporters left in New York City. San Francisco has no reporters at all. Zero. You see these news trucks riding around with their satellites like they're going to report on something. They report on absolute nothing. Zero. There's no reportage. Nothing. So all we have left are our own eyes, our own ears, and our own nose. That's all. That's the beginning. My friends, what do you want to talk about? I sense that you're a little lost today. I try to give you the San Francisco horror story. Who was stealing federal highway funds in San Francisco? What progressive politics have done to this great city? And what progressive politics are doing to this great nation? Giving you an example of a Muslim immigrant in Roanoke, Virginia, who tried to behead people while screaming Allahu Akbar from the bottom of his fetid guts. And the best the FBI can do is say they're investigating this incident as though it was spontaneous combustion of rags in a basement. And you want to bring in more of them? Obama wants to bring in more and more and more of these people? What do you mean, these people? They're just like you and I. No, they're not just like you and I. No, they're not like my grandfather. No, they're not like your grandfather. No, they're not like your grandmother. No, they're never going to assimilate. All they want to do is dominate because they are not like your grandmother and your grandfather. Now, of course, if you'd rather talk about Washington Times reporting that the Republican National Committee, the Royal National Committee, has now sent in their genius Republican advisor, chief strategist, and communications director for the RNC, Sean Spicer, a real genius, a genius of communications. He's such a genius that he's been able to advise Romney, and he was so good at advising Romney how to lose that he's now been assigned to make sure that Trump loses. He will work 3 or 4 days a week at Trump Tower to help the campaign shape its message. Spicer will start his new role after Labor Day. Now, why would they hire a guy like Sean Spicer to advise Trump? Trump's campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, where did they get her from? Everyone who mentions her says, where did they get this person from? Who is she? Why is she advising Trump? How'd she inveigle her way into this job? CEO Steve Bannon, I've met Steve. I think he's an all-around great guy. I like his website, Breitbart. But Kellyanne Conway, where did she come from? Why would they hire these nunweights? Never mind lightweights. No weights. Not even featherweights. Be below featherweights. So I'm a little worried about Trump right now. I had him on the show last Wednesday. I thought he did a good job, really a good job. He said real things. We talked about real stuff. I thought news was made, but because I don't exist, his interviews with me don't exist, and therefore no one heard the interview except you, the loyal audience, the very loyal audience that has made this show one of the top radio shows in the world, and of course makes my books, you know, what they are. They do well. I know Scorched Earth will sell very well. I'm not sitting and waiting to buy a new car and put a down payment on a new house. If it sells well, better than well, I wrote the book for one reason. Because it's my last chance to expose what progressive policies are doing and what will happen if Hillary Clinton, God forbid, should win. Because this thing that I told you about earlier, I'll bring up again. Where you can't call a boy, or a girl in Albuquerque because of the 0.02% of the freak population that says that offends them and makes them feel uncomfortable. Unless we stop this progressive insanity, this country will be like that airliner I described to you, about to explode in the sky. And on that pleasant note, I will invite you to call the show at 855-400-7282. I admit I mixed things up a bit. I admit for the person who is monodimensional, it's very hard to follow an inventive, creative, genius mind like my own. I realize that it's much easier to follow a single line of thought for 3 straight hours and grunt, yay or nay. But unfortunately for you, my mind tends to run in many directions at once, as does yours.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, here's a story for you. Now, I'm talking about broken roads in San Francisco and stolen highway funds and the corruption of the band of progressive liars who run the city and the state. It's nothing. It's chicken feed compared to her. Many donors to Clinton Foundation met with her at state. This is a big article in today's Associated Press. More than half the crooks outside the government who met with Hillary, the liar Clinton, while she was Secretary of Hate, gave money, either personally or through companies or groups, to the Clinton Crime Foundation. Even the AP is saying it's an extraordinary proportion. indicating her possible ethics challenges if elected president. Now, you've got to understand what this means. It means that she ran this government while she was Secretary of State as a private piggy bank for her family foundation. If you did that, if you set up a foundation that was tax exempt, and you were a public official and was steering people to give money to your private foundation for favors as a public official, you would be in prison. Not if and or but, you'd be in prison on any level. Local, state, national, you'd be in prison. Now, why could this Doe girl get away with this? How does this bowling pin of a human being get away with this? How in the world could you even think of electing somebody more corrupt than anyone in the history of organized crime? How could you even think of it?
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. I just got a note that we had a technical outage for 3 minutes on my show in the last hour. Apparently it came at the end of my brilliant monologue in segment one. I think that's when I was talking about the corruption in San Francisco. And for some weird reason, we had a technical outage. Now, I call it a satellite failure, but I have suspicions about such things. I was talking about where have the hundreds of billions in highway funds gone? Why are the roads broken leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge? I talked about a subway to nowhere. And there was a satellite failure for 3 minutes on my show. Now, there's some very powerful individuals in the San Francisco area. They dress beautifully, immaculate suits, perfect ties, shirts without stains, perfect shaves and perfect manicures. And they are the cleanest of American citizens. Then, of course, toward the end of the hour, we talked about Hillary Clinton's corruption in a story that made even me, I couldn't believe what I was reading. I really could not believe it. I couldn't believe the story. I've never seen such corruption as this. And it's so bad that the Associated Press is even saying they never saw anything like it in their own way. For them to publish it is beyond belief corruption. Anyone else would go to jail. Many donors to the Clinton Foundation met with her at State. I don't know whether we had a technical failure at that point either. But if you didn't hear it, you'll hear it again right now. More than half the people outside the government who met with Hillary the corrupt Clinton while she was Secretary of Hate gave money, either personally or through companies or groups, to the Clinton Foundation. Then they say, it's an extraordinary proportion indicating her possible, and they emphasize possible, ethics challenges if elected president. Now we go to the bottom of this article, and we see what all the good progs have to say. For example, here's Norman L. Eisen, great man, President Barack Obama's top ethics counsel. Just a sterling human being. A great man. Later worked for Clinton as ambassador to the Czech Republic. I wonder what he was doing in the Czech Republic that he had to be there so badly. Anyway, Norman Eisen, a top ethics counsel. This guy was so wonderful that Obama got away with virtually anything he wanted. So here's what Eisen has to say, quote, if Secretary Clinton puts the right people in, and she's tough about it and has the right procedures in place, and sends a message consistent with a strong commitment to ethics, it can be done, said Norman L. Eisen. Eisen, now a governance studies fellow at the ultra-left-wing Brookings Institution, said that at a minimum, Clinton should retain the Obama administration's current ethics commitments and oversight. You hear this? Now here's another one. Richard Paint, forget ethics advisors. I love ethics advisors. There's a famous ethics advisor that said you should euthanize the handicapped. Remember him? Ethics advisors. Usually the most unethical people on earth become ethics advisors. Ask Daniel Abraham, whose name also was included in emails released by the State Department as part of another lawsuit, is a Clinton fundraising bundler. a bundler. Imagine if you said your father was a doctor, lawyer, accountant, plumber. My father was a bundler? A bundler. That's a new job category, a bundler, who was listed in Clinton's planners for 8 meetings with her at various times. A billionaire behind the Slim Fast Diet and founder of the Center for Middle East Peace. Abraham told the AP last year his talks with Clinton concerned Middle East issues. Really? Muhammad Yunus, a Bangladeshi economist, also met with Clinton 3 times and talked with her by phone during a period when Bangladeshi government authorities investigated Muhammad Yunus's oversight of a nonprofit bank and ultimately pressured him to resign from the bank's board. Throughout the process, he pleaded for help in messages routed to Hillary Clinton, and she ordered aides to find ways to assist him. That's called RICO. We had a legitimate government. It's a RICO statute that's invoked, and they're indicted under RICO statutes. Racketeering, influence, corrupt organization. There's more here. Just read it for yourself. As a U.S. senator from New York, Hillary Clinton, as well as then Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, and 2 other senators in 07 sponsored a bill to award a congressional gold medal to Yunus. He got one, but not until 2010, a year after Obama awarded him a Presidential Medal of Freedom. You hear this? A guy like this gets a Medal of Freedom? Who else do you think gets it? Someone who deserves it? All right, you get the picture. Read it for yourself. You don't care. Here's the problem with a story like this. You don't care. Those who would never touch this woman with a stick, never. No, she's corrupt and rotten and deserves prison. And those of you who are progs don't care what is found out about her. You will vote for her anyway because you have no ethics and no morals and no moral compass. And that's the problem with America today. And it's all a matter of whether the sick man in the White House, the goofy golfer, if you want to put it in a mild manner, if the goofy golfer has flooded enough Mexicans, Hondurans, El Salvadorans, and Syrians into Republican congressional districts, and if the goofy golfer has so watered down voter ID laws that people can vote 20 times, then all is lost forever and America becomes that airliner in the sky that explodes at 35,000 feet. That's the opening to hour 2. I hope you heard some of this. I do not know if we had another technical failure with a satellite outage during this little discourse here. But I want to ask you something. How can you vote for a woman who was so openly corrupt? So corrupt that even the Associated Press has to report this story, that at least 85 of 154 people from private interests who met or had phone conversations scheduled with corrupt Clinton while she led the State Department donated to her family charity or pledged commitments to its international programs, according to a review of State Department documents. Now, let me explain something to you. The only reason this came out is because Judicial Watch made it come out. You want to hear how much money is involved? Combined, the 85 donors contributed as much as $156 million. At least 40 people donated more than $100,000 each. And 20 of these people gave her more than $1 million. How's that for the 0.01% who make believe that they're for the 99%? Donors who were granted time with Hillary Clinton included an internationally known economist who asked for her help as the Bangladeshi government pressured him to resign from a nonprofit bank he ran, a so-called Wall Street executive who sought Clinton's help with a visa problem, and Estee Lauder executives who were listed as meeting with Clinton while her department worked with the firm's corporate charity to counter gender-based violence in South Africa. Now the AP says the meetings between the Democratic presidential nominee and foundation donors do not appear to violate legal agreements Clinton and former President Bill Clinton signed before she joined the State Department in 2009. They don't appear to violate legal agreements, but the frequency of the overlaps shows the intermingling of access and donations and fuels perceptions that giving the foundation money was a price of admission for FaceTime with Clinton. Okay, you get the picture. And all we hear about is Trump, 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 Trump. I mean, this is corruption, naked, in your face. Naked corruption on a level you would expect in a third world nation. And what do we read the same day we read this?
that Trump brings in a schmuck from the RNC to advise him. A Schmendrick. RNC throws lifeline to Trump campaign. According to the Washington Times, Sean Spicer, the chief strategist and communications director for the RNC, will work 3 or 4 days a week at Trump Tower to help the campaign shape its message. And I asked myself, in blue marking pen, what? The man who advised Romney is now advising Trump? Wimpification does not work, I wrote. Wait, it gets even better. Also working for the Trump campaign is former Republican Rep. Michelle Bachmann, who was advising Trump on foreign policy, and I wrote, remember her? So I say to myself, who is advising Trump to bring in Michelle Bachmann and Sean Spicer? Something is wrong up there in that tower. Now let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation, 855-47282. Any topic is fair game. Any one of them. All the way back to the porn issue. All the way back to who stole the highway money in San Francisco. All the way back to I Left My Heart in San Francisco, now becoming a literal song because of the spate of crimes being directed at tourists. It's lucky they get away with their heart inside their chests with the wild immigrants running around with knives in their hands. Okay, my friends, that's the opening to Chapter 2 of today's show. I don't think you want to talk about Hillary's lies because you know she's a liar and you know she's a thief. You know she's a crook. So there's there's no grist. It's like in the news business years ago, they say, like, dog bites man is not a story. Hillary Clinton corrupt, that's not a story. That's like dog bites man. You know she's a rotten, corrupt scoundrel. So that's not a story. If you read a story, finding out that through secret emails it was discovered that Hillary Clinton was helping crippled children in Africa with money from her own pocket, or that Bill Clinton, instead of molesting young girls, was actually helping them, that would be man bites dog. That would be a story. So there's really no story in the fact that they're a corrupt family. So you say, well, okay, is Trump pure as the driven snow? I doubt it. So it's a question of who is less corrupt. It's a question of which group you want running the country. One that is so corrupt that it would make a third world dictator blanch with embarrassment that you get away with this in the United States of America, which allegedly has a media when it doesn't. When you have Joseph Goebbels' blitzer, when you have Joseph Goebbels' tapper, when you have Joseph Goebbels' Stephanopoulos sitting in these powerful chairs of disinformation, how in the world can you say you have a free press in this country? I ask myself over and over again. As I walk around and ponder the broken streets of San Francisco, the garbage in the streets, the overflowing sewers, the filthy bums, if I tell you that this is an example of a nation and a city melting down in front of our eyes as a direct result of Prague politics, I would not be deceiving you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Listen to me. This story that broke today by the Associated Press, which is a very liberal organization, majority of foundation donors got special access to Hillary, is so revolutionary in its, you know, the word I'm looking for, I don't even have it, I'm in the word business. It's like I'm looking at pornography. This woman is such a naked crook, and she's flaunting her crookedness and saying, go touch me if you dare. How in the world can a nation survive a scoundrel like this? If we lived in a fair nation, she would either resign out of embarrassment, meaning her own party would tell her she has to step down, because the entire Democrat machine is touched by this scandal. That means every senator is as rotten as she is. Every senator with a D next to their name is doing the same exact thing. They're looking up, you know, saying a fish rots from the head down, and they're saying, if she can get away with it, so can I. So you want to visit me, Senator X? Give money to my husband's foundation. You want a special favor? Give money to my daughter's foundation. Majority of foundation donors got special access to Hillary. You read the story, you can't believe this. At least 85 of 154 people from private interests who met or had phone conversations scheduled with Hillary, blah, 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 pledged commitments to its international programs. Combined, the 85 donors gave as much as $156 million. and it lists those who did it. Wait, but there's more in this story than I read before. The AP's findings represent the first systematic effort to calculate the scope of the intersecting interests of Clinton Foundation donors and people who met personally with Clinton or spoke to her by phone about their needs. Now, wait, it gets even better. The 154 did not include U.S. federal employees or foreign government reps. Clinton met with reps of at least 16 foreign governments that donated as much as 170 mil to the Clinton charity. But they were not included in AP's calculations because meetings like this would presumably have been part of her diplomatic duties. Do you hear anything like this? Now, I got to ask you something. On Monday, Bill Clinton, the husband, says in a statement that if his wife wins, he would step down from the foundation's board and stop all fundraising for it. Really? You mean after you got caught robbing the Treasury blind or whatever you were doing? After you got caught running a pay-for-play scheme that would make Boss Tweed look like a piker? Well, we won't do it again if she becomes president. You don't, won't have to do it if she becomes president. You just take the money and transfer the account right into your own. What do you need to do it that way for? You do it the old-fashioned way. Just transfer the money right from the U.S. Treasury into your foundation. That's all. What do you need to do it this way for? This is cumbersome. How can anyone listening to the show vote for this woman? I don't understand it. There's a lot of potential conflicts and a lot of potential problems, said Douglas White, an expert on nonprofits. The point is you can't just walk away from these 6,000 donors. I could ask you a question because I don't have a question. I have only answers. There's only one answer to this. She is as corrupt and as rotten as any third world dictator. They are like a third world couple. And the couple that comes to mind that I've mentioned before is like the Marcos couple in the Philippines. The shoe woman, the closet full of shoes. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton met with Grameen Bank founder and Nobel laureate Muhammad Yunus. Nobel laureate, another wonderful institution. A Nobel Peace Prize, you know what that means? Nothing. You buy them like you buy Cracker Jacks. Take a look at who's one half of them. Barack Obama got one for being Barack Obama. Before he was a month in office, they gave him one. Say, a Nobel laureate. Oh, wow, he won the Dynamite Prize. Great. You think he didn't buy it? Lobby for it? So what has to happen? Who can actually take her out and arrest her and try her for this? Do you realize? I don't even know. I think it would have to be the Attorney General of the United States of America. Now, do you actually think that Loretta Lynch would do a thing like that when she is nothing but a puppet of the entire establishment that permits this to go on? And secondly, Loretta Lynch is very busy right now trying to find out if anyone is screaming Muslim in a crowded theater. Because remember, if you say Muslim in the wrong inflection, she will bring the entire force of the Justice Department down upon you. This, of course, the pay-for-play in the State Department, is of no interest to her whatsoever, because there's not a tint of racism in any of it, nor of homophobia.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
It is Savage Nation. I feel cheated today. I feel cheated by my nation. I feel cheated by my government. I feel cheated by my media. I feel so cheated right now that I don't know who to turn to. We have no government. We have what the equivalent of government anarchy functioning right now. They're functioning on their own as if they are a wholly owned enterprise meant simply to fleece the public. They're not doing the people's business at all. They're simply robbing the public blind. And that's true in San Francisco. It's true in Washington, D.C. When you hear what the Clinton Foundation has gotten away with, and there are no ramifications, meaning, oh, yeah, well, we won't do it when she becomes president. Don't worry. We're going to disconnect from the foundation. Well, if they're going to disconnect from such activities, if she should, God forbid, become president, that means something was wrong in her doing it while Secretary of State, and there should be punishment for it. For example, if you take out 6 library books and they're due at the end of September and you don't return them, you'd pay a penalty, wouldn't you, for those missing library books? You would. You'd pay a big fine. In some cities, police come to your house for missing library books. Did you know that? Or let's say you say, well, that's one example. But if there are missing hundreds of millions of dollars that crossed any boundary of civility, that's not a crime? So why does she get away with it? How does she get away with it? Why? Because we have been cheated of our government.
We've been cheated of a media. We've been cheated of justice. Now, I told you in the first hour of this show, there were several minutes that did not get broadcast. There was dead air. Is that right? Raise your hand if you didn't know where I went for those 3 minutes. Apparently, there was a major satellite failure that affected not only my show, but others. I don't know what's actually in them, but we're going to play them for you right now. I want to see if my conspiracy theories have any validity. Let's listen for a minute. These are the missing minutes from hour one, when we had blank air going out to the world on the Savage Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, if I were Clarence Darrow conducting the Scopes monkey trial, I would say a few things now in a court of law in order to try to impress you with the idea that we're living in a totally insane society as a result of progressive policies. And if it is not curtailed with us standing up and saying enough is enough, just shut up. Do what you want to do, but get the hell out of my face and get out of my life. You're not going to dictate to me anymore what I should say about reality. You're the one who's confused, not me. Would that make me an intolerant person or a sane person who has had enough? Have you had enough of the dictatorship of the minorities who are now dictating what you should think and feel about reality? Or am I the last man who is not crazy in this society? And again, it comes back to the number one story that I told you today. I talked about crime in San Francisco. I talked about broken highways in San Francisco. I asked where the federal highway money has gone, who is stealing it. Because there are billions of dollars sent into this area by the federal government to fix roadways. Where is the money? And I mean the roads leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge, for example. It's a broken road that you wouldn't find in a major area of Malaysia. Who's stealing the money? Are you telling me that the senators in this city, Feinstein and the other one, Boxer, don't drive over the Golden Gate Bridge? They don't feel the broken road under their car? You're telling me that Pelosi going to her country estate over the Golden Gate Bridge doesn't see the broken road and ask herself, why is this road broken going onto an iconic structure like the Golden Gate Bridge? Where is the money going? Who's stealing the money? It's a simple question. If we had a U.S. attorney like Rudolph Giuliani in this area, or even a U.S. attorney of the type they are lucky to have in New York like Pete Prahara, pardon me for mispronouncing his name, I can guarantee you that there are politicians who would be in orange jumpsuits. Now that's the beginning of my show. If that's not good enough for you, I have nothing. So that's why we had a power outage. Very powerful people don't like to hear these things. They don't want you to know any of this. They want you to think the roads are broken because there's not enough money to fix them. They want you to think that people are being robbed at gunpoint in San Francisco. Well, they're not actually being robbed. Although they're being pistol whipped, robbed, beaten, shot, and killed in some cases, it's not really happening. Because if you say that, you're a disloyal San Franciscan. And you're not helping the economy at all by bringing in people from around the nation and the world in order to enjoy this beautiful city and get robbed or whatever. I love this city, but I cannot stand what the progs have done and are doing to it. I went here to the city last night for dinner. I couldn't believe the filth in the streets of North Beach. I am talking about garbage in the gutter. I am talking about sewers that were clogged that the water couldn't even go down. I am talking about broken roadways from a subway to nowhere. Remember the big dig in Boston? The boondoggle for the construction companies and the politicians, the corrupt politicians in Boston, that reached such a proportion of thievery that it became a story in all of the newspapers of Boston and New York. Didn't reach out west, of course. People out here are not interested in such things. We have a subway to nowhere being dug underneath the ground. No one even knows where it's coming from, where it's going. Billions of dollars in federal money. Where does the money go? Well, so you see the Clinton fraud, you see the street fraud, and then here on a local level, you see stories like this. Albuquerque elementary teachers told to no longer address students as boys and girls. Now being told they can no longer address their students as boys and girls. That's because of a transgender policy. So I said earlier, how in the world can we let a minority dictate to us what is reality? Until eventually the plane falls out of the sky. The plane of sanity itself blows up in the air. And so you have to stand up to them and say, you know what, do what you want to do, get out of my face. My son is a boy, my daughter is a girl, now go away. Just get away from me. If you're confused, it's not my problem.
You're not twisting reality. Millions of years of evolution, we're not supposed to know what a boy is and what a girl is. Because they're mixed up. You're supposed to be mixed up. They get hurt because you call your son a boy, and you call a girl, and you're supposed to go along with that nonsense? Yes, if you're in Albuquerque. Or other denizens of stupidity, like San Francisco. You got to hear this story. It's an astonishing example of the tyranny of the minority. Here is a full news report from KOB-TV by anchor reporter Danielle Tedesco on clip 3 on the Savage Nation.
Teachers at Carlos Rey Elementary School are in a tough situation. They were told by their assistant principal to stop calling their students boys and girls.
It seems school administrators decided to take the new transgender bathroom policy for APS a step further. And this is the first example we are seeing of something that started as a bathroom issue, now expanding into daily life in the classroom. So we took the new policy to people on both sides of the issue tonight.
Here's the letter sent to teachers at Carlos Rey Elementary this month. It's titled Gender Identity Procedural Directive. It basically says starting this month, teachers can no longer refer to their students as boys and girls, telling them to eliminate gender in their classrooms. Well, as you can imagine, it incites a passionate reaction from both sides.
This is outlandish. This just makes no sense at all.
Reverend Adelius D. Stith has been regularly attending the APS board meetings. He is pleading with board members to listen to parents before allowing transgender students to use the bathroom of the gender they identify with. The district has said it will comply with that federal order, and this is the first school year we're seeing it in action. Stith says this letter from an assistant principal proves the APS directive has just caused confusion and how to correctly implement it.
She or he is now exercising what they believe. It's their spin on the directive. They are confused. Obviously, when you tell a teacher, don't call a boy, and don't call a girl, this is confusion. But we can call them coyotes, students, engineers. They can't even spell engineer. We can call them scientists, but we can't call them boys or girls. This is ridiculous.
But Adrian Lawyer with the Transgender Resource Center believes this assistant principal was actually trying to do the right thing.
Okay, I don't want to listen to this person who's mixed up. A woman, a person born as a woman, takes hormone shots and now looks like a guy with a beard. When I was a kid, I went to Ringling Brothers to listen to that. I'm sick of it. So why am I playing this for you? To pick on transgenders who are mixed up? No. I'm trying to show you what a sick president can do to a nation in only 8 short years. I'm trying to show you what a demented, psychotic progressive can do to a nation in a short period of time. This is all based on a federal directive put out by the creative golfer, Barack Obama. It leads me to what I'm trying to sell you, scorched earth. It's a concept that must take hold in America. When I say to you that progressive policies are leaving a scorched earth and that we must restore the nation after this Prague leaves office, I am doing so in order to warn you that if it's bad now, as it is, it's going to get much worse. And that's why I implore you, ladies and gentlemen, to check out a copy of Scorched Earth, this issue of transgender issues under a federal directive. Pushed forward by Barack Obama and his entire band of unmarried pranksters has reached such a point of insanity that we the people have to stand up and restore the nation after Obama. It's as simple as that. And I want to make one quote first. Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away. It was assassinated. That's the opening quote to my book, Scorched Earth. By Andre, you never heard of this French philosopher, it's from another century. He was a historian, and he said, Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away, it was assassinated. The Prags are assassinating our civilization. I am standing here on the ramparts, trying to save us before the deluge, before that plane I described before blows up in the sky, and there's nothing left to save. And I ask myself as I wrote Scorched Earth, will I be understood or will I be misunderstood? Can the brainwashed fools on the liberal side ever comprehend that they have been had, that their lives are being put into danger by the Prags
that they seem to worship so much? We are witnessing the destruction of every aspect of our civilization. Now you can't call a boy or a girl a girl. And if Hillary the corrupt wins, do you actually think that this kind of insanity will be curtailed? Or will it be escalated on a bullet train, destroying everything left of our sane nation, every element of sanity left in our nation? I'm getting worked up, and I don't want to get worked up. The biggest story of the day, in plain English, that anyone can follow, concerns money. That anyone can follow. The issue of transgenders, people say, I don't really care, I don't have kids. Or I don't really care what you call a boy, a girl, it doesn't matter. Well, when you see the headline, half of Hillary Meets State gave cash to foundation on the Drudge Report, you have to say to yourself, enough is enough, she has to be arrested. There has to be a government mechanism to arrest this woman and try her. This is not legal. I am sorry. Pay for play is illegal, by the way, with any federal position. Do you understand that? Forget about ethics. You can buy an ethics lawyer cheaper than you can buy a prostitute in the cheapest neighborhood in your city. An ethics lawyer. What does that mean? Ethics lawyer. Those two words themselves don't match. Ethics lawyer. No, I'm sorry. There are laws against this. If you are a public official and you let people into your office and you say to them, or your assistant says, okay, Mr. Smith, you want to meet with my boss. In order for you to meet with my boss to discuss, well, your problem, you have to send money to her husband's foundation. That's a crime. It's a clear crime. You go to jail for that. People have gone to jail for much less than this for pay for play if they're public officials. I want to ask you, the people, why she is not being indicted for this kind of behavior. I'd like to know why. Because she owns the courts? Because she owns the puppets in the media? But doesn't law transcend this kind of control? Doesn't law transcend this? Is there not a mechanism in Congress amongst those useless idiots called the Republicans to step in and do something right now? You know, if there was a legitimate Democrat Party, which there is not, it's nothing but a Ponzi scheme, they'd step in and make a step down, and they'd put in Biden, or they'd put in that other guy, whatever his name is, Citizen Kane. And I got to tell you something else. I'm going to say something you're never going to believe. If Biden were to run against Trump, he'd beat him. Not because Biden's any good. Biden's a certifiable doofus. But you then have straight white male versus straight white male, somebody we know against somebody we don't know, and Biden wins. Even if you ran that prog, Kane, he'd win, he'd beat Trump. Hillary, on the other hand, is liable to lose to Trump because of this corruption. So for the sake of the nation, and even for the sake of the party, they should step in and take her out. Remove her. But they won't do it because she has something on everyone. And this is going to melt down the entire Democrat Party, as far as I can tell, unless the ignoramuses that they flooded into the country who don't even read or write English, don't even know what's going on, nor do they care. And then, of course, all is lost for all of us forever.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My dedication to the nation is such that I am now enjoying a power lunch in the radio studio, consisting of a takeout tray with commercial Mexican food in it, a Baja bowl, which is actually delicious. I happen to love peasant food. It's the starch tablecloth, ladies and gentlemen, dinners. I can't stand. I have trouble with them. My mind is somewhere else. I can't talk to. I can't take talking to the waiter and asking and demanding. I can't take it. So I'm enjoying a bowl right now of peasant food and asking myself, how can a nation like this survive? How can it survive when you have half of Hillary Meets at State gave cash to foundation? It's an open and shut case of corruption. It's a federal crime. So who is watching the watchers? Who's in charge here? Where is a body in the U.S. government to at least investigate whether these donations resulted in any favors? If they did, it's prison time. And I'd like to know who in the government is supposed to be doing this. Where's the Republican Party? Why are they saying nothing? Well, I think I have the answer for you, because I think the fix is in. When I read this morning that one of their chief spokesmouths
is now advising the Trump campaign. I said, I'm sorry, it's a Romney 2. It's a Romney 2 now, it's over. Because this can't go on. I don't see how he can win. If they're putting a guy in who advised Romney, who threw the election, how can they win? The answer is they don't want to win.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-72. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
You know, there comes a time in every nation, in every family, in every campaign, where people have to pull their heads out of the sand and say enough is enough. When you see this story today, which is our turning point in the campaign, or should be, if we lived even in a putative free republic, Hillary Clinton would step down in order to avoid being indicted. Half of Hillary Meets at State gave cash to foundation, says Drudge Report, but he didn't write it. He got it from the liberal Associated Press, which was forced to finally step in to save any of their credibility, unlike CNN or MSNBC, who do not care about their credibility. They never did. But AP wants to retain a semblance of credibility. They publish this story, and you say, wait a minute. How can a nation survive this? How in the world can a nation survive this? People went to her, and they were told by Huma Abedin or others, give money to the Clinton Foundation in order to meet her. And then things were done for them. So you say, well, what's new? I mean, really, politicians do that. That's why they run for office. They're all crooks. I mean, the cynical view is they're all crooks. That's why they run for office. If they were straight people who didn't want to be crooked, they wouldn't be a politician to begin with. But the only people who run for office are crooked. Now, I'm not that cynical to believe all politicians are crooked. I can name a few who I respect. A few that I respect. The names escape me right now, but I can name a few that I respect. I'll have to look them up after the show. I mean, Senator Cotton is an example of someone I respect. I think he's above reproach. But I'm giving an example. But by and large, you look at this campaign, this is the dirtiest campaign in the history of America. So you say, well, what is so bad in what she did? How should I really relate to this, Savage? You're getting worked up over nothing. No, this is a clear violation of the law, not just of ethics. Forget the ethics. The Democrats have no ethics. They never did. Not in my lifetime did they ever have ethics. I go all the way back, for example, to what they're doing to Trump, to what they did to Barry Goldwater. The same slimeball approach. I remember it because I happened to have met the powerhouse Washington, D.C. lawyer who's dead now, thank God. I mean, thank God because of what I'm about to say. I remember meeting him. I've got to be careful here. He ran the Kennedy White House. He was a very powerful Washington, D.C. lawyer. And he was a nice enough guy. They're always very, very charming and very intelligent. They're like guys out of The Godfather who are always charming. They are. I'm not kidding. And they're fun to be around. Actually, you want to be around them. Their power is so effusive, it pours out of them. And they're brilliant. And they're very smart. He created the campaign against Goldwater of the Daisy campaign. The image, the cartoon of the little girl looking up with the daisy that dies because an atomic bomb would go off because they said Goldwater was too unstable to be president, which is, of course, ludicrous. He was far more stable than the crook who robbed him, the degenerate crook who robbed the election. Goldwater was a certifiably wonderful Western American male. But they smeared him. Same is going on now with Trump. I wouldn't put him in the category of Goldwater, but I would say compared to rotten Hillary, he's as clean as the driven snow. Now, for the sake of the nation, she should step down. Now, she's not going to. She's too powerful. For the sake of her own party, they should step in and say, Madam Secretary, Mrs. Clinton, however they refer to her or defer to her, they have to say, this is too bad. You can't go forward. It's too bad. It's going to get worse. And the longer you stay running in this campaign, the higher the stink level, and we're liable to lose the Senate and Congress forever. because the level of corruption is so great that even the average jerk out there is liable to say enough is enough. You've got to step down, and we're putting Biden in. We're putting Kane in. And as I said in the last hour, because I'm an independent commentator, not owned by either party, period, end of story, I have never received a dime from Donald Trump. Let me be very clear. I take that pledge. He has never bought any of my books. He has not distributed any of my books. He has not committed any ad money to my radio show or to my website. I have never received 10 cents from Donald Trump. Is that clear? Let me be very clear. I can't be any more clear than I just am. I put myself right out there. Period. End of story. But what I'm about to say is absolutely clear to me, that if they would have, if she would have stepped down because the party steps in and says, look, for the sake of the party, forget the country, we don't care about the country, we never did. For the sake of the party, we're afraid to get a meltdown here, you got to step down because the longer this goes on, this investigation of this pay for play, the longer it goes on, it's going to have a trickle down effect on our Senate races and House races, you got to step down. And they put in doofus Biden. Now, Biden is a certifiable, let me put it to you this way, he seems like a very stupid man. The proof is that he's poor. Any man who's a vice president and been with a corrupt party this long and is still poor must be pretty dumb. That's all I can say. But because he's poor and dumb, he's liable to win. Because he's not corrupt. Apparently, he's not corruptible. He's that dumb that he's poor. So, anyway, they put him in and he wins. He would beat Trump by a very, very big margin. Because, as I said to you, he's a known factor, he's a stable, like, middle-class white guy, he has no corruption surrounding him, and those who don't want to vote for her for all the other reasons that we've known, never mind just this pay-for-play, all of the other scandals surrounding the Clinton family, they vote for him, and that'd be the end of the election. Now, even if they put in Kane, who was less well-known, and far, far more progressive, shall I say regressive, than Biden, I think even Kane would win because there's almost nothing to attach to him. Kane maintained his power base by granting illegal aliens the right to vote. So he's a typical Jerry Brown type of corrupt progressive in the old-fashioned way, not taking any money, just basically flooding the voting booths with non-citizens. You know, stuff we've come to accept as the norm in San Francisco and elsewhere in America. So, I mean, that's the story. I could ask you what you think. What's the point of me asking you? When I see that the RNC has put in their chief strategist to advise the Trump campaign, along with that Kelly something, I don't know where they got her from. I don't know how they dug her up. Do I have anything positive to say about the campaign? Yes. I've dealt with some wonderful people in the Trump campaign along these last months. They're very intelligent, good people. Steve Bannon is a good guy. I don't understand where this Kellyanne came from. I don't know how a woman like that inveigles her way into the top. She's not, let's say, at the level of, let's put it this way, if there was a store selling light bulbs, and it was like a 20, a 40, a 60 watt, or a 57, I think they still sell 100 watt, then a three-way, 100, 150, 250, I'd say like a 15 to 18 watter. I don't know how she got, I don't know how they let her in the inner circle. The bulb is kind of dim. So my friends, Romans and countrymen, how are we going to live with this? Where do we go from here? Do you think that Hillary Clinton, well, I'm going to ask you a question, that's a loaded question, I'm not going to ask you the question. The fraud, the pay for play, is such a big story. Half of Hillary meetings at state gave cash to foundation. That's an open and shut case of corruption met with her at state. That's so bad that even the Associated Press had to publish the story. At least 85 of 154 people from private interests who met or had phone conversations scheduled with Hillary Clinton while she led the State Department donated to her family charity or pledged commitments to its international programs, according to a review released so far to the Associated Press. You want to hear the amount of money involved? Combined, the 85 donors contributed as much as $156 million. At least 40 people donated more than $100,000 each, and 20 gave more than $1 million. Now, if you read this story, what's going to happen is even, I would say even fair-minded Democrats are going to say this is no good. And what's going to happen is there's going to be blowback now. People are going to start to demand that Judicial Watch investigate top U.S. Democrat senators and see who got into their office and what kind of money they had to donate to their foundations run by their children or their spouses. That would include the top echelon of congresswomen and senators who have these next to their names. Are they all doing this? And if they're all doing this, don't you think we have a right to know what favors they got for their donations? Have you ever wondered about this in your lifetime? How things get done in this country? Has it always been like this, or am I naive? For example, I'll give you an example from my poverty, my poor childhood, what I knew. If you had a son and you wanted your son to go to one of the elite military academies, West Point, Annapolis, something like that, it was well known even at my social level, which was not the highest in the country. My parents were immigrants, that you had to get to a congressman who would write you a letter. We didn't know any congressmen. It's like talking about God when I was a kid. But within the level of people that we knew as we lived in the country, there were people who got to know how to reach congressmen. And in order to reach a congressman, I guess you had to make a donation somehow to their campaign. And then Congressman Schmendrick from the Bronx or from Brooklyn would write a letter. Dear Commander Schmandy, the U.S. Military Academy of the U.S. Military Academy. Here is a wonderful, upstanding youth from East 110th Street. He's a wonderful boy, terrific Boy Scout. He can tie knots and he can throw things and he can swim and jump. And of the highest recommendation of my office, I recommend Tony Schmendrick to go to the U.S. Military Academy at the highest level of entry. And then you had a chance of getting in. Otherwise, basically had no chance of getting in, especially if you didn't have good grades and you're just an ordinary kid. So going back, I'm talking a long time ago, you could buy favors through congressmen, which is why they ran for office. Now, who were the congressmen? You look back of who became congressmen, they were basically corrupt, greedy lawyers who were not good enough at law. They were not really good at law. So they couldn't even make a good living as a lawyer, so they went into politics where the money was easier pickings. So, you know, there was always, all right, so there was always pay for play in some way. But you would think that at the level of running for the presidency, you wouldn't have something as nakedly corrupt as this, right? Doesn't it show bad judgment? Let's put it another way. Let's say you're not shocked by the acts itself, the acts of pay for play. Does it not show poor judgment on the part of Hillary Clinton to have done this? And think it would not come out in the light of day? So just from the point of view of judgment, doesn't that worry you? I'm asking questions. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, I started the show talking about San Francisco's horror stories like the garbage and filth, clogged sewers, broken roads, entrance to the Golden Gate Bridge worse than a third world nation. I asked who was stealing federal highway funds in SF. I try to show you what progressive politics have done to a beautiful city such as San Francisco. But you know, you look at the Hillary Clinton story, it seems to me that the garbage and filth and clogged sewers is a metaphor for her campaign. And yet it's so plain to see, it's hard to believe that she's still running. Of course, if we lived in normal times, a woman like her never would have run. Okay, so what can I say about it that I haven't already said? Nothing. So let you talk. That's what I'm going to do. Ted on KSFO Line 1, fire away, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, could you tell me how her acts aren't really treasonous, considering most of the time she's dealing with foreign governments that may or may not have an adversarial relationship with us?
Well, your statement is rhetorical because you made a statement that's true. If you look at the foreign governments that smeared her, through the foundation. And then you have to ask what they wanted. What do these foreign governments want? Was it in the national interest? Isn't that what you're asking?
Well, I don't understand why it's not treasonous to sell stuff to other countries that belongs to the United States.
Well, you'd never be able to get her on a charge of sedition or treason. That'd be impossible. But you could get her on a charge of corruption, public corruption. That's an easy one. I don't care if it's a local county supervisor. Let's say a San Francisco supervisor here in this little city of mine, this little provincial bird called San Francisco. One of these little small-time, small-potatoes supervisors. Somebody went in to see him, and they wanted to see him, and his aide said, fine, but you have to give his, I don't know, his wife or his husband, whatever it may be, a donation to their foundation to see him. And then you went in, and what you wanted was done for you. That's punishable by statutes up and down the line. It's a punishable crime. So when you see this done, 85 out of 174 people who went to see her paid to the foundation to get in, to me it's public corruption. It's an open and shut crime. At least there should be a trial, don't you think?
Well, I think it's still treason because one of the people she gave special favors to is Russia. There's no question about that.
Wait, hold on now. I said to you, irrespective of what you may perceive it to be, you can't prove treason and you can't prove sedition, but you can prove public corruption rather easily. That's the main thing, Ted. I thank you for calling. Here's another little story for you to show you what the goofy golfer has done. Nearly 700 inmates have been released from Gitmo, and more than 200 have returned to the fight. Came from the Hill. 700 inmates released by the goofy golfer, and 200 have returned to the fight. Is that not treason or sedition? In other words, if a president releases 700 inmates, the worst of the worst, and he was advised by the military not to do it because they were going to go back to the battlefield, and 200 out of 700 go back, is that not a punishable crime? Right, but who's going to punish him? Who's watching the watch? Who will watch the watchers? It was asked in ancient Rome. They asked in ancient Rome, who will watch the watchers? Who is watching the watchers? The answer is nobody's at home. Nobody's watching anything. And that is why, again, it all comes back to the scorched earth policies of Barack Obama that I'm trying to warn you about, will be continued under Hillary Clinton. And I'll quote the French scholar who said, Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away, it was assassinated. These progs are assassinating our civilization and our society. Period. My opinion, I'm a social commentator. That's what I see going on. The progs are assassinating our society.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Progressive politics have ruined San Francisco and America. And I'll give you another example. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, elementary teachers have told to no longer address students as boys and girls. I don't know if you can believe this. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, a psychotic teacher or principal told all the teachers in the elementary school, you can no longer address students as boys and girls because it's offensive to transgender students. I want to know how long a society can survive when 0.0001% of the population dictates not only the morality, but what is sane and what is insane in a society. You know, I thought that democracy was defined in part as majority rule. How can we have minority rule in this country and survive as a cohesive nation? We can no longer pander to these people. I don't want to hear any more about their problems. I don't want to hear any more about whether I can say boy or girl. I don't want to have any more twisted bathroom stories. This is what Obama has done to this country through progressivism and tolerance. Ultra-tolerance is killing us. Now, I'm going to play a soundbite for you. And if you see this person, Adrian Lawyer, from the so-called Transgender Resource Center, who apparently is behind telling teachers in Albuquerque they can't call boys boys and girls girls because it hurts transgenders. If you saw a picture of this man as he talks, you'd see a man with a beard. So what you're about to listen to is the image of a burly man with a beard who was actually born as a woman. Listen to this clip. I believe it is number 2 on the Savage Nation.
What the principal is trying to say is, let's think about how we address students and all of the gendered language that we use all day, every day, and whether or not we really have to do that. For some young people, that's a really painful experience every day to be referred to as the wrong gender.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I were
Clarence Darrow conducting the Scopes monkey trial, I would say a few things now in a court of law in order to try to impress you with the idea that we're living in a totally insane society as a result of progressive policies. And if it is not curtailed with us standing up and saying enough is enough, just shut up, do what you want to do, but get the hell out of my face and get out of my life. You're not going to dictate to me anymore what I should say about reality. You're the one who's confused, not me. Would that make me an intolerant person or a sane person who has had enough? Have you had enough of the dictatorship of the minorities who are now dictating what you should think and feel about reality? Or am I the last man who is not crazy in this society? And again, it comes back to the number one story that I told you today. I talked about crime in San Francisco. I talked about broken highways in San Francisco. I asked where the federal highway money has gone, who is stealing it. Because there are billions of dollars sent into this area by the federal government to fix roadways. Where is the money? And I mean the roads leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge, for example. It's a broken road that you wouldn't find in a major area of Malaysia. Who's stealing the money? Are you telling me that the senators in this city, Feinstein and the other one, Boxer, don't drive over the Golden Gate Bridge? They don't feel the broken road under their car? You're telling me that Pelosi going to her country estate over the Golden Gate Bridge doesn't see the broken road and ask herself, why is this road broken going onto an iconic structure like the Golden Gate Bridge? Where is the money going? Who's stealing the money? It's a simple question. If we had a U.S. attorney like Rudolph Giuliani in this area, or even a U.S. attorney of the type they are lucky to have in New York like Pete Prahara, pardon me for mispronouncing his name, I can guarantee you that there are politicians who would be in orange jumpsuits. Now, this country is like an airplane moments before tragedy strikes. If you were looking at a jetliner in the sky, flying along at 35, 40,000 feet, and someone took a picture of this airplane, this giant jumbo jet, before tragedy struck, that would be my image of America, because that's where we're at. Here's a story, for example, as a result of immigration, open borders, as a result of the goofy golfer. FBI investigating possible ISIS-inspired knife attack in Virginia. What do you mean possible ISIS-inspired? Where do you hear the story?
The FBI has launched a federal terrorism investigation into a weekend stabbing in Roanoke, Virginia, looking at whether the attacker may have been trying to behead his victim in an alleged ISIS-inspired assault. What do you mean may have been trying to behead his victim? He had the knife against the white man's throat and was trying to cut it off? Oh, I said white man? Yeah. Federal authorities, listen to this sickness. So-called federal authorities, whatever that may mean, have been aware of the alleged attacker, 20-year-old Wasil Faruqi, of the Roanoke area for some time. In the past year, sources said, Wasil Faruqi traveled to Turkey and may have tried to sneak into Syria, where ISIS is recruiting and inspiring some of them from around it. So you see, old Faruqi the Muslim was arrested Saturday by Roanoke County Police on charges of assault with malicious wounding. What did he actually do? Mr. Faruqi allegedly injured a man and a woman at an apartment complex in Roanoke, yelling, I'm sorry to tell you, I know it's very offensive and it's insensitive, but he was yelling Allahu Akbar, which is a guttural grunt from ISIS attackers before they kill non-Muslims. So he attacks these white people with a knife. Authorities believe he may have been trying to behead the male victim, who was likely picked at random. Faruqi and his two alleged victims were hospitalized. See, we have to give him hospital treatment. I'll tell you what I'd give him. I'd give him cockroaches and an open wound. I'd bury him up to his nose and put ants on his head with honey. Faruqi and his two alleged victims were hospitalized after the attack. You hear? My tax dollars at work, I have to pay for Faruqi's medical care. I dig a hole somewhere in Roanoke, in a town square. I bury him up to his neck and put honey on his head and let the ants eat him alive. I think that would disinspire the next ISIS attack, wouldn't you? But no, here's the answer now. The FBI is working with the police department following the incident that occurred on Saturday evening. You hear that? Said the head of the FBI's Richmond field office and then the so-called special agent in charge following the incident. Not the potential beheading by a Muslim fanatic. The incident that occurred, like spontaneous combustion. Well, I cannot discuss details of the investigation, said the FBI moron. I do want to reassure the community that we are working to determine the nature of the incident. You know, Mr. Lee, you're a schmuck. I don't care if you work for the FBI. You are a schmuck. To even be able to speak like that, you're a moron. You can see how agitated I can get if I actually look at these stories. Oh, here's the punchline. And this is a call out to all of the good progressive lawyers out there. This is a call to all of you. It was not clear whether Faruqi has a lawyer. So if you're a brainwashed, psychopathic, anti-American, anti-family, anti-church, anti-man, anti-woman, anti-cop person with a law degree, Faruqi needs a lawyer. And he's waiting for you. And if you'd like his phone number, I can provide it for you. It's 1-800-DROP-DEAD. Here's another story. Sean Spicer, the chief strategist and communications director for the esteemed RNC, is now being brought into work 3 or 4 days a week at Trump Tower to help the campaign shape its message. Now, of course, the question that begs to be asked is, he's going to help shape the message, the man from the RNC, the man who advised Mitt Romney, is now going to advise Trump? How did that work out for Romney? I guess the wimpification of Trump is in the wind. Now, also working for the Trump campaign is none other than the two-faced liar, Michelle Bachmann. You remember her? Remember Michelle Bachmann, former Republican, emphasis on former Republican congresswoman, Michelle Bachmann? Well, she's advising Trump on foreign policy. Why do I have it in for Michelle Bachmann? I'll make it real simple. When she was struggling, she came on this show, and she begged you for money, and you sent her money. I think it was over $200,000, and she said, help me fight Nancy Pelosi, and then after she saved her position, she would no longer come back on this show. Well, eventually, she got thrown out of office. She's also been hired by the Trump campaign. Do you understand why I don't want to talk about it? It's too depressing. It's anguishing. And so I got to tell you this. I went to San Francisco last night for dinner. Frankly, I love San Francisco, but I got to tell you this. If ever you wanted to know why not to vote for a progressive, just come to San Francisco. The garbage in the streets, the filth in the streets, the clogged overflowing sewers, the broken roads. And if you want an example of broken roads, I want you to do something for me. Because I'm going to do it this weekend. I'm going to try to do it anyway. I want you to take a small video with your iPhone. If you're in a car leaving San Francisco, going north over the Golden Gate Bridge, let's say to Sausalito or Napa Valley, I want you to look at the broken roadway leading up to the Golden Gate Bridge. It is worse than a third world nation. I want to know where the billions of dollars in highway funds have gone. I want to know which progs are stealing the highway funds in San Francisco. I want to know which progs are stealing federal highway funds in San Francisco. And this is an example of what progressive politics have done to a beautiful city. It's exactly what progressive politics have done to a beautiful nation. 8 years after this fraudulent golfer took over the presidency, oh, by the way, his vacation was over, I think, Sunday. So the goofy golfer flew to Louisiana today, and he said, this is not a photo op. I mean, it's astounding. Everything he says, does he not hear himself? What does he care? He's above the law. It doesn't matter. He hears himself. But the point is, progressive policies destroy everything that it touches. Now, if you say, well, this is an old message, Mike, move on. Well, it's not an old message. It's an actual new message. Because Hillary is selling progressive policies as though it's a new message. Is it a new message or an old message? What do you expect is going to happen in America if she wins? Well, I'll give you a few examples. You'll have more broken streets. You'll have more crime. Here, sightseers mugged at gunpoint on San Francisco's Twin Peaks. Of course, no description of the burglars. Two photo-snapping sightseers in their 20s were robbed at gunpoint Monday night on Twin Peaks in San Francisco. The latest in a rash of crimes at the Popular Vista targeting tourists. The men were taking pictures around 10 p.m. when two robbers, no description, approached them. Police said one of the assailants, again, no description, put a handgun against one of the sightseers' backs and threatened to shoot if either of them yelled. The other mugger took the backpack from the other victim. It contained two computer tablets, a hard drive, a camera lens, and U.S. and European currency. Wait, it gets better. Authorities didn't immediately say if the victims were traveling from abroad. Well, we can assume that if it had U.S. and European currency, they were tourists who were robbed at gunpoint in San Francisco. The mugging was the latest crime at the popular photography destination, targeting tourists and city sightseers. It's also happening at Coit Tower. It's also happening on Lombard Street. It's happening all over the city. Why? Because the police are unable to preemptively arrest the bad guys. They know who they are. The police know who they are. And in the old days, they would have yanked them in by the collar and arrested them. But of course, they can't do that anymore. San Francisco is one big urinal. The rest of the world should know what we all know who live here. Everyone in this city who is a realist knows that it's one gigantic toilet bowl. And if you come here, you not only overpay for everything, but you're going to risk your life. And it's all because of the progressive politics of the Board of Supervisors. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, the big scandal is the Clinton Foundation, the pay-for-play. Over half the donors who wanted access had to go through her. It's unbelievable. If this happened in the Philippines under the Marcoses, it would be a major scandal. And we're now living in basically a third-world nation. We are living in a third-world nation politically, socially. America, tell me if I'm wrong when I say this. Is America not becoming like a third-world nation of terror, riots, mobs, chaos, and corruption? I'm wrong with the Black Lives Matter movement getting $70 million from George Soros, that evil skunk. Terror, riots, mobs, and chaos, that doesn't define your country. Well, so now let's turn to the election itself. Let's turn to the Trump saboteurs. Here is a small montage of so-called conservatives like Susan Collins, Meghan McCain, another idiot, Mitt Romney, a real conservative, and Ted Cruz. These are the saboteurs of the Trump campaign who will elect Hillary, and that's why they must be outed on the Savage Nation.
I hoped that we would see a new Donald Trump, one who put forth thoughtful policy positions, stopped denigrating people, and had a more positive vision for America.
Bringing in someone from Breitbart News, which is a website that's almost dedicated to doing nothing but giving Donald Trump positive press, it is an unorthodox choice.
Unfortunately, I'm afraid that the things that Mr. Trump has said have been unfortunately branding of our party in a very negative way, and one which is consistent with the image many people have of my party.
I am not in the habit of supporting people who attack my wife and attack my father.
Well, there's a whole book in that called The Saboteurs. If you're a young person looking to sell a book, I'd write one called The Saboteurs after the election. I don't know if anyone will buy it, but it's certainly a good idea, isn't it? Suspected Islamic State beheading attempt in Virginia. I think I covered that. Another wonderful immigrant. Suspected Islamic State beheading attempt. What's the difference whether it was suspected or not? He was found trying to cut the head off neighbors in Virginia while shouting Allahu Akbar. And yes, he has a name. His name is Wasil Faruqi. And yes, he has an ethnicity. Yes, he has a country of origin. And yes, he has a religion. As you know, Allahu Akbar is not Hebrew for blessed God. As you know, Allahu Akbar is not Malaysian for bless the Lord. As you well know, Allahu Akbar is not heard in Christian churches. As you know, Allahu Akbar is not heard in Hindu temples. Allahu Akbar is heard in only one type of house of worship. And of course, Hillary cannot get enough of them. Obama has brought in almost 10,000 of them from Syria. How many of these 10,000 will be screaming Allahu Akbar as they pull out a kitchen knife and try to cut your wife's head off? Would you say 0.1%? So let's do the math. Let's say it's 1% of 10,000 of the Prague's immigrants. Do the math. I think you'll come to understand the danger we're in. and that our civilization is being assassinated right in front of our eyes.